This is Doug Miller. I want you to draw near, and I want you to hear the testimony of a man who was blind, but had his eyes, spiritually speaking, given back to him. Stick around. We'll talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again. Word of God in hand. We are looking at the 22nd chapter of Acts. We are looking at the Apostle Paul as he makes his defense before a mob of angry Jews who are eager to kill him. There's nothing they want to do more. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Acts 22. We'll begin at verse 6 today. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists for the purpose and only for the purpose of seeing this word go out. One of the joys of doing this is knowing that we don't really have to do much other than put it out there. The blessing is in the Word. It's the Word that makes sure, safe, sound, and solid. And it is God's Word that God promises to bless. So we are just delighted and privileged to be a part of this kind of ministry. We, of course, covet your prayers. If there is to be real power in anything that we say, the Holy Spirit must be present. And it is the Holy Spirit that lifts up and exalts Christ Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that brings us to light and life through this word. So pray for Dialogue, please. I beg you. Write our names down. Pray for us every day. And of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We love to hear from our listeners, to know that you're there, that you're listening, to answer any questions you have, to help you in any way that we can. So let us hear from you. If you want to email us, it's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have, of course, a web page, and that's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, and you can pull down the broadcasts and listen to them and read about Dialogue and so on and so forth. If you wish to talk to me about anything, you can call. Our telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording and you leave me a message and I'll get back with you. All right. Let's begin now. We have in Acts 22, in verse 6, Paul's really getting into his testimony. Now, I don't know if you have ever been called on to give a testimony about how you were saved, how the Lord saved you. I've been to many meetings where testimonies were being given. Probably most of you have. When I listen to a testimony, what I want to hear, what I am really listening for, is a sense of the individual's lostness and sinfulness and the encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and coming out of darkness into light, really. And, of course, that occurs by and through the gospel. And what we have here in this man, Paul, when you look at him, he begins by talking about and painting himself not in a very favorable light. We saw this last time. Now, you think about him. He was a well-educated man, a brilliant man, a man of considerable culture, one would think, an erudition. But he was a murderer. And all of his culture and all of his religion and all of his tradition was driving him to murder, and he didn't see a problem with it. And he was being encouraged in this direction by others who should have known better. And, you know, you read this and you see it and you wonder what is going on with individuals like this. Well, Paul, as we saw last time, was on his way to Damascus. And, of course, this is the famous Damascus Road experience. I hear about this one all the time. Even unbelievers talk about the Damascus Road experience. And I've had a Damascus Road experience. And it's kind of, the whole thing has kind of come into our language, into the English language, to mean really something in which someone, they were going one direction, they get turned around by events or circumstances. They were blind, now they see, and so on and so forth. This is exactly, but this is where it comes from, right here. I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus. About noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Now, this is not the last time Paul will give his testimony. And you notice as he gives it that this light just keeps getting brighter. This was at noon, the time when the sun is at the height of heaven, the time when it is at its highest. And I cannot imagine, this is the brightest time of the day. And yet the light that shone out of heaven was so bright that it eclipsed even the sun at noon. Paul says a great light. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why persecutest thou me? Now, this we looked at this and we saw this back in the 9th chapter of Acts and went through this, and I observed back then what I'm about to say again now. The Lord Jesus didn't say, why are you persecuting my followers? The Lord Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this to me? And I said at the time when we went through it back, quite a while ago now, one of the things Paul learned right there in the dust of the Damascus Road, he began to learn the lesson of the unity of the body, the headship of Jesus Christ, and the fact that all believers are one in him and are unified to him in an unbroken unity, an unbreakable unity. Then when you raise up your hand against a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are raising your hand against the Lord Jesus himself. And Paul didn't know that, but he learned it, and he learned it real well right here. I answered, he says in verse 8, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Wow. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, Paul, that's the last thing in the world that he wanted to hear, I can assure you. Well, he says, they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. They may have heard, when Paul says this, they heard the voice, or they didn't hear the voice. They may very well have heard sound, but they did not hear the language. Paul very clearly heard a voice speaking to him in the Hebrew language, and the others did not. The others may have heard only noise. But this voice is directed to Paul and not to anyone else on that Damascus road. Paul, I'm talking to you. He said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of the things which are appointed for thee to do. Well, Paul is blinded. I could not see, he said, for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And we know, because we, once again, the account in Acts 9, it goes into it in some detail, that Paul was blind, and he didn't eat, and he didn't drink, and he was in this condition until Damascus came in and laid hands on him. And, of course, once again, the account in verse 9 is much more thorough than what Paul gives right here. In fact, we know Paul, for example, for 3 days, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, he was blinded, and he was praying. We know that because of what God tells Ananias later on. And you will remember once again, just by way of review, that God, when God said to Ananias, go into the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas for a Saul of Tarsus, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Ananias didn't want to do it, or he was at least afraid. I know of this man, he said, Lord, the evil that he has done to the saints at Jerusalem, and he has authority here to bind any that call on thy name. But look, and what did God say? Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way. Now, this is an amazing thing. I don't care what you think of him. God says, as it doesn't actually say this, but it's clearly implied in what he said, this man is my chosen vessel. I chose him in my sovereignty, and I know what I'm doing, and I don't care what he has been or what he has done. I'll deal with that. You do what I tell you. You go down here. And we've got here that I could not see for the glory of the light. And we have also in verse 12, and one Ananias, a devout man. I'm back in Acts 22 now, incidentally. Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because just a little bit earlier, he didn't want to have anything to do with the man. He was scared to death of him. But now it's, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, this is some kind of speech. This is it's really moving when you think about it. Ananias not only lays hands on him, but he tells him, you are chosen of the Lord. Now listen to me, all of you who are out there, if you are saved at all, I could say the same thing about any one of you, and it would be true. You are chosen of the Lord. The Lord, you are saved because the Lord laid hands on you. He opened your eyes. He brought you to his Son. And just as Paul, or rather, as God had a reason and a purpose for saving Paul here, you may rest assured that he had a purpose in saving you. There's a reason for it. And it goes way beyond just, you know, okay, well, now I'm saved, I can relax and coast on through life. Oh, no. God has something for you to do that only you can do. And you need to be about seeking, diligently seeking, if you don't know it, what it is he's called you for. Now, for those of you who are unsaved, I want to tell you something. To the unsaved man, the unsaved woman, has no purpose in life whatever. Now, I don't care what you think or who you think you are or what you think you're doing. If you are unsaved, you have not even begun to live. You are dead in trespasses and sins, and your life has no purpose whatever. God puts you here. You are in rejection of him, and you can do whatever you want. You can pile up all the money you want. You can go to and fro, back and forth to work, and on. You're just going around in big circles and waiting to die. And when you die, it's just a belated final gasp because you never really started living anyway. Your life didn't amount to anything. And I tell you what, there are a lot of people out there who have come up to the end. They are on their deathbeds, or they are rapidly approaching the time when they will be laid on their deathbeds. And they know themselves that their lives have been utterly meaningless. It's at the end, and they don't even know what it's about. They haven't even figured out why they were created yet. And that's the simple truth. But look at Paul. Paul has, what's his purpose been up to now? To murder, to kill, to butcher, to stamp out these heretics as he sees them? He's got a much higher calling now. He is on his way out to the whole world. Will it be easy? It will be difficult. Paul's had a pretty cushy ride up to now. He hasn't begun to see trouble. This experience on the Damascus Road might have been upsetting to him, but he is about to find trouble that he hasn't seen yet, and yet he is in the will of God, and he is the one who later on will write from a jail in Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. I'm telling you, if you could talk to the old Paul and say, "Look, Paul, why don't we, I've got the power, supposing you had it, to take you back before you were ever saved, to take you back before the Damascus Road thing, and you can just avoid that, and you can avoid all this trouble that you're into now, and you're in prison, and you're going out to the chopping block. How about it, Paul?" You know very well what Paul would say. "Let me help you out if you don't. Are you out of your mind? Do you think that there is anything in my world back there that I would not give up just for the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't care if this is what I've come to. I'd rather be in a prison and know the Lord than to be out there, the toast of the town in Jerusalem, the great scholar and academic champion and all of this, and not know the Lord. Don't make me laugh. Get thee hence." Look at this. "It came to pass in verse 17 of Acts 22, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, 'Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me.' And I said, 'Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him.'" All right. So far, so good. Paul has had their attention. He has told the story of how he was saved, how the Lord saved him and changed his life, why he has been out among the, preaching the gospel and so forth. They've been listening, but look at what happens after verse 21. And he said unto me, that is God, said unto me, that is Paul, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Ooh. Look at verse 22. They gave him audience until this word. And then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. What is the problem here? Well, I can tell you what the problem is real quick. These individuals hated Gentiles. These individuals had no desire whatever to see God's blessing fall on a bunch of Gentiles. These Gentiles were unclean dogs once again, you know, and they had no use for them at all. And Paul saying that God had sent them, had sent him out to the Gentiles, boy, that was enough to throw them into a frenzy. Now, this is sad because really, you want to go back and read the Old Testament and what God had to say to the Jews. One of the reasons that he called the Jews at all was so that the teaching and testimony of the one true God and his word and what he was doing in this earth would go out to the Gentiles. All people were to be blessed in the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Were all people being blessed in these? Not certainly not because of anything these folks were doing. They wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles. Of course, God said all people will be blessed in thee, and that was going to happen in spite of anything anyone in Jerusalem was doing at this time. But once again, as I said last time, here we see it again. This is what religion does for you. This is what religion drives you to. Not only were they not a blessing to the Gentiles, they weren't even trying to be a blessing. They hated him. Away with him. It's not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him, that is Paul, to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Well, this is the same thing we saw last week, didn't we? Remember, they were about to kill him in the temple, and this chief captain came and took him away and said, what did you do anyway, you know? Blame the guy that's getting beat half to death. Here's the same thing. They're, you know, crying out and wanting to kill Paul, and, you know, I'll examine him by scourging. Yeah, I'll beat him until he tells me what it is that he's done. Well, of course, he's not going to do this because Paul... in fact, we see it here. He says, is it lawful, verse 25 there, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Well, that did it. That put a stop to it. And that puts a stop to me because that's all we'll have time for today. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.